And so as we begin this story today, I want to talk about landing and getting to the resurrection, which is really the pinnacle of this story. But beginning in this redemption story, when we look at God forecasting some things, God, Pastor Clinton always used to say, God forecasts, then he fulfills. But looking in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15, this account, and it says, the Lord said unto the serpent, this is where Adam and Eve disobeyed the directions of the Lord. And because of that, the curse came. And they lost their position. And the glory was lifted from them, and they were removed from the Garden of Eden. But look what, when that happened, look what the Lord began to say to the serpent. He said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, not seeds, seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And this is the first reference that we begin to see that God is really referring here to his son, that this seed, Jesus, is going to bruise his head, which really, some writers say, that it means that he's going to break the lordship of this serpent, this devil. And we're talking about Satan here. And I'm just going to reference, we don't need to turn there, but I'm going to reference here some scriptures that forecast his birth. We have Micah 5:2, and then in Isaiah 9:6, we're familiar, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And now also, turning to the book of Isaiah, and there's many scriptures, we're just highlighting a few here, that are forecasting the master, and really looking at verses 1 through 5. And it begins to talk in Isaiah about the Lord Jesus and what would happen. It says, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. Now look at this verse 4. Surely, not maybe, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And you know, I shared on some lessons here, this word griefs in verse 4 actually means sicknesses and pain. And actually the word sorrows actually means pain, and it means pain physically, but it also means pain mentally. So I know Pastor Greg was sharing something on Facebook, but you know, when it talks about the crucifixion and Jesus bearing for us the iniquity of all of us, that He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. It means he carried to the cross our pains and sicknesses and the mental pain. So that means God delivered us through Christ your mental anguish. So things that bother you, anger and things, depression, has been paid for. So we thank God. Isn't that a wonderful news? Good news. And so now Jesus begins to reveal in the New Testament, you don't have to turn here, but Jesus begins to, well, actually, let's turn here. John 3:14-17. Jesus begins to reveal his purpose for being here on the earth. And this is Jesus speaking. And the King James, starting in verse 14, he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And verse 15, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then these familiar scripture that we have, "For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so Jesus began, in verse 17, he continued, "For God sent not his Son into the world to do what? To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's good news. So Jesus began to reveal his purpose for coming, that the Father sent him to redeem mankind. And then if we look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he begins to also reveal his purpose. He begins to, this is John writing here. He said that he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so now I want to just look quickly at his crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection. And 1 John 1:29 and Revelation 3:8, he's referred to John the Baptist as he came to be baptized. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So he was referred to as what? The Lamb of God. And Revelation chapter 13 and 8, it talks and it refers to Jesus as what? The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. That's good news. Hallelujah. And so he's referred to as what? The Lamb of God. And now, referring to the crucifixion, we can see here that he took our sins, which we just got done seeing. He took our sins and what? Our sicknesses. And we referred to this before, and I'll refer to it, Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the New Living Translation. It says, "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." Hallelujah. But we know from Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that Jesus came to do what? Redeem mankind. And he did what? He took our sins. He had no sin. He was sinless. And so 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him," he who? God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. And of course, in Galatians 3:13, you don't need to turn there, but it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made what? A curse for us." Hallelujah. And again, we don't need to turn there, but I'll reference 1 Peter 2:24. It says, who his own self bare what? Bare our sins in what? His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Hallelujah. And then we can turn to Galatians 2:20 and referring to the crucifixion. He took our sins. For who? For us. It was our sins that he took. And we're still looking at the redemption story. In Galatians 2:20, in the King James, what does it say? I am crucified with Christ. Well, how could I have been crucified with Christ? He had my sins. So as far as God's revelation is concerned, I was crucified with Christ. And it says what? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth where? In me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? So he took our sins, and he took them, and we were Jesus, and you and I were crucified with him. Hallelujah. And now, when we talk about him being buried, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, the scripture talks about us being crucified with Christ and buried with him. What does it say here? It says, therefore, we are buried with him, how? By baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And you don't need to turn there, but Colossians 2:12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Hallelujah. Now, we were, our sins were taken to hell. Now, look what happened in Romans. Let's look at Romans 4:25, but let's look at the Young's literal translation. And let's look at that translation because that's, for me, a little clearer about what this is really saying here. What happened when sin was paid for and Jesus was released from hell? It says, who was delivered up because of what? Our offenses. He was crucified and delivered up because of our offenses. And was what? And was raised up because of our being declared righteous. You know, the King James says, and was raised again for our justification. The New King James, the Young's literal translation is a little more exact, a little clearer. It says, he was raised or released from hell because of our being declared righteous. What does that mean? The minute sin was paid for, whose sin? Our sin. He was released from hell, and the scripture talks about we were raised with him. Hallelujah. And we can turn over and look at the New Living Translation in chapter 2 in verses 4, 5, and 6, and it talks about us being raised from the dead, being raised with Christ, together with Christ is what the New Living, or the King James says, that we were raised, we were quickened together, it says, with Christ and raised together with him. So we were crucified with him, we were buried with him, and we were raised again with him. In the New Living Translation, it says in verse 4, if we can jump back there and look at verse 4, and it says here, but God is what? So rich in mercy, thank God. And he loved us so much. Isn't that wonderful? In verse 5, it says that even though we were dead because of what? Because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. In verse 6, it says, for he raised us. Who's he talking about? You and me and Jesus. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? In other words, we were raised and seated with him in heaven, in heavenly places. This means in God's minds, we've been given what? A position of authority in Christ. No, we're not seated in heaven physically, but in God's eyes, in his mind, in his will, we are seated there. What does that mean? In authority. The body's here in the earth. But here, after this has been done, what is our responsibility? Legally, everyone has been saved. That's what the scripture said. Legally, he died. Sin was paid for. So every man, their slate has been wiped clean. God is not holding sin against them. But what makes that a reality? What causes that to come into reality in our lives? It means that I have to believe the gospel message. I have to believe as far as the scripture is concerned. Let's turn to Romans 10 and verses 9, 10, and 11. Or verses 9 and 10 in Romans 10. It says what? That if thou shalt do what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And verse 10, for with the heart man believeth, how? Unto righteousness, and with what? The mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so I was teaching this last Wednesday on the heart and mouth connection. And so there's some significance here. We have to believe that what? As the scripture says, we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Savior, and that he was what? Raised from the dead. This is the significance, and we see this is the significance of resurrection. He was raised from the dead, and this is what makes Christianity the only religion, if you could say, where their Savior died for our sins, redeemed mankind, and was raised from the dead, and what? Is alive. Hallelujah. And so here, let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. And it talks about us being what? In the New Living Translation, it talks about us being what? It says that we've been enabled, says he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to who? His people who live in the light. And then verse 13, it says, for he rescued us from where? The kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. So he did what? Just like what it shared in Genesis. When we go back to Genesis and we look at that, where when Adam fell and we lost our position, and says that death reigned through one, that it was from Christ who did what? He redeemed us. He was the mediator between God and man. He restored our relationship with God, which was lost through Adam. So we thank God that we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Just what it said, he broke the lordship of Satan. And so now we've been delivered. And so now we've been translated into, the King James says, translated into the kingdom, or transferred into the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. Now I'll just reference this scripture, Romans 8:16. It talks about the Spirit itself or himself does what? Bears witness to our hearts or spirit that we are the children of God. And it goes on in verse 17 to say, if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of God and what? Joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45 in the New Living, it says that the scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. He came to give us life. Glory to God. Now, continuing here, reigning and overcoming in life, let's turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. And when we're talking about resurrection life, and we've started from the pronouncement and looking at that the purpose of Christ and him coming, and when we come down here and we look at resurrection and reigning in life, we have to look at Romans 5:17 in the King James. It says, for what? For if by one man's, Romans 5 and verse 17, that's all right, I'll read this. This is the New Living. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in what? Triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? In the King James, it says that we will reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we can see here that this resurrection life freed us from the power of sin. We can see that. Let's look at Romans 6 and verse 6 in the New Living. It says the old man is what? Crucified with Christ. So that what? Sin has been destroyed. We're no longer slaves to sin. Isn't that good news? Glory to God. And so we can see here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 in the New Living, it says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that what? Sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. What does that mean? That means that temptations may come. Temptations to sin may come, but it has no power over me. Now, his resurrection life is in me and gives me the ability to overcome it. So we can live an overcoming life. Let's take a look at 1 John 5:4. This is what this is talking about here, that how do we overcome in this life? We've now been born again. We have this resurrection life in us. We've been born of God. What does the scripture say? 1 John 5:4, it says, for whatsoever or whosoever is born of God does what? Goes through life trying to figure out how to make it? No, it says here, whoever's born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. How? Even our faith. And we know from scripture we're to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. I'd like us to turn in overcoming. I want us to turn and look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 17 through 23 in the New Living Translation. And I like this particular scripture. And it's helps us understand the purpose of this authority that we've been given. Now, looking in verse 17, it says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you what? You might grow in your knowledge of God. Hallelujah. And then in verse 18, it continues, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Hallelujah. Do you know we're his inheritance? And continuing in verse 19, it goes on, and I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power. And continuing, and it says, this is the same mighty power that did what? Raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. When it talked about we were raised with Christ and he was raised by the power of God, so were we when we got born again. And continuing in verse 21, it goes on to say, now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Now let's look, I'm getting down to verse 22, because this is really the theme for today. God has put what? All things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for who? Not for him, for the benefit of the church. And let's look at verse 23. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. I tell you, that's so exciting to me, that what he did, the authority and the dominion that he has, he already had dominion, but when he came to this earth, he came as God in Christ. The scriptures say God sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin in the book of Romans chapter 8. But it goes on to say that he did this in the book of Ephesians, or you could look at it in the book of Philippians. He came and set aside his divine privileges. So he operated as a sinless man. He came to take our sins and redeem us. But this says here that what? He has all authority over what? Over power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And God put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for who? For the benefit of the church. Hallelujah. So God has given his authority to the church to do what? To enforce, you could say, enforce his word here in this earth, to push back the powers of darkness, and to do what? Make disciples of all men, to cast out demons and to lay hands upon the sick, to be a light here in the earth. That's the reason for this resurrection power that we have. And so when we look at Mark 16 and verse 15, and through there, we don't need to turn there, but just referring to the Great Commission. And he did what? He said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Glory to God. How? In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they what? They shall recover. Hallelujah. So we can see here that the reason for resurrection was to do what? He took our sins to hell. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him. But thank God we were raised when sin was paid for. The power of God raised him from the dead, out of the pits of hell. And the scripture says we were raised with him and raised and seated with him in heavenly places. So that tells us that positionally we have a place of authority and we're to exercise that authority. And actually, when you begin to, let's turn over, we can look at this in the New Living Translation in Matthew 18 and verse 18. 19 and 20. And I like this particular translation in Matthew 18, 18. This begins to show us the authority that the church has, the body of Christ. And verse 18 in Matthew 18, it says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid, This is Jesus speaking here. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Hallelujah. In verse 19, it says, "And I also tell you this, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you." And then verse 20, it goes on, "For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." Hallelujah. So we can see here, Jesus gave us dominion and authority here in the earth. We are his joint heir, an heir of God and joint heir. We're his body. And so the head has given directions and leads us and guides us, but he's given us authority to confront the forces of darkness. And what does it say? All principalities and all powers are under his feet in this world and the world to come. So he's given us dominion and authority. And so we need to exercise that. We need to walk in that and not just lay down and let the devil run rampant. But God has given us dominion and authority here in this earth. So in the times that we live and the situations that we're in right now, this is what was quickened to me, that we need to come together as the body of Christ and begin to do what? Stand up to this evil that has been perpetrated, not only on this country, but around the world, to cause people to fear. Doesn't mean that we don't protect ourselves naturally in things, but it does mean that we don't operate in fear. Because what is the scripture saying? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So the choices, and what do we read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16? It says, those that are the sons of God are what? Led by the Spirit of God. And so that goes on to tell us that we're led by his Spirit and we should be making choices based on him leading us, not fear leading us. We're new creatures in Christ. We've got his very life inside of us now, and his Spirit lives in us to do what? Direct us and to guide us. And so we can see here that the decisions that we make should come at the direction of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so today, just before we jump into agreeing in prayer, even in the area of sickness and disease, let's take a look quickly at 1 Peter 2:24, and let's look at the King James Version, and let's take a quick look, and it talks about him bearing our sins, but the King James says, who his own self did what? Bear our sins in his own body on the tree. That what? We being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. If you were healed, then that means you are healed. Well, some may say, well, I certainly don't feel healed. I don't look healed. I don't sound healed. My body doesn't look healed. Well, God's word says, ye were healed. So what does that mean? It goes back to Romans or to Matthew 18. What things soever you forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. Whatsoever you permit on earth is permitted in heaven. So we need to do what? Forbid those things that have been paid for. Jesus bore our what? Griefs and carried our sorrows. And Matthew 18 and verse 17, it says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and did what? He bore our sicknesses. And so just one last scripture to look at, Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 in the King James. We can look at this scripture. It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall what? Also quicken or give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit that does what? Dwells in you. And so when symptoms come on my body, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to connect our what? Our heart and our mouth together. We're to do what? Release our faith. Your faith is your word speaking. And we need to confess and say, the scriptures say, himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I forbid sickness and disease in my body. And the same Spirit that raised Christ's dead body from the dead dwells in me. And because he dwells in me, this resurrection life, the Spirit of life dwells in me, he's quickening my mortal body. And this life in me, the life of God, is quickening and causing my body to restore and be healed. Hallelujah. But today, I want to just take a moment and I want us to join together in agreement. And I, you know, as we are watching together and we come together in faith, we've heard the word of God concerning the life and ministry of Jesus, and it was consummated with the resurrection. And so that's the pinnacle of this. And that resurrection life was for who? For us. And so the authority that was given, we just got done reading that in the New Living Translation in Ephesians chapter 1, it was for the benefit of the church so that we can walk in authority and dominion here in the earth and walk, as it says, and reign in life. And so God is looking at us down here as his body, the body of his son, and we're to operate in dominion and authority. So I'd like us today to join in agreement according to Matthew 18 and 18 and forbid this sickness and disease to continue, because this virus is a disease and it's hurt many people and some have died. Many have died. But we're going to stand in the gap. You know, when you look at the life of an intercessor, someone who stands between the dead and the living, you can look at what? The life of Abraham. When those angels came and they came into Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened? Abraham stood in the office or stood and interceded for Lot and his family. And what happened? He approached God and said, "Will you destroy this city for 50 righteous?" And you know he came down to just a few. So here he kept imploring. He kept interceding with God. And so God finally spared, and he said he spared Lot and his family. And what did he say? Get them out of the city, which he did. And so we can see here that we're the body of Christ needs to intercede and stand in the gap for those that don't know him, for the lost, and for those that may not know that they have authority in Christ. We do. And so let's join again. Let's join together in prayer. Speak to this coronavirus and command it to cease now in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we come together in agreement as a corporate body, those online and those who may watch this after that we're online, but that they join in agreement and we join now according to Matthew 18 and 18. And you have, according to the words of Jesus, said, whatever we forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. And whatever we permit on earth is permitted in heaven. And where two or three are gathered together in his name and touch and agree, that it'll be done by his Father in heaven. And so we come together and we release in faith words and speak to this coronavirus. In Jesus' name, I command this coronavirus in this area. Primarily, we're in New York. We speak to it in New York and New York City. We command you in Jesus' name to wither and die. The scripture says that we are to speak to the mountain, command it to be removed and to be cast into the sea. So we command this coronavirus worldwide and in this area that we live, we command it to be removed and to be cast into the sea of God's mercy. We command it to leave. We command it to die in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we thank God. We join in agreement, and it's done as far as we're concerned, that this virus must cease and wither and die in Jesus' name. We've taken our authority. This is not how we feel or even what we see. God watches over his word to perform it. So we thank God and we look and expect. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for and expected, the evidence of something not seen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is an exciting day to reflect on resurrection life and what has actually happened to all of us. And I want to take this opportunity to reach out to those that may be listening or watching, and you don't know the Lord Jesus. You know about him, and you may even believe that he is, but you've never confessed with your mouth and asked him to come into your heart and to change you. So let's take a moment and let's ask the Lord Jesus to look upon this setting, and you reach out where you are and ask him to come into your heart. You just follow me in this simple prayer. Just say this, Father God, I believe that you sent your son here to the earth to die for my sins. And Father, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior. And I believe that he was raised from the dead. And I believe that I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I ask you to make something new of me. Change me, cleanse me with your precious blood. And I believe now by faith that I am saved. And so if you've said that simple prayer, that means that you just got born again. That means that you are saved. And so that's just what the scripture says, that if you believe on his son, you received eternal life. And so praise God, if you said that prayer today and you became born again, let us know. Email us. You can email us at rlcc@redeeminglovecc.org. Let us know that you got saved, or you can post that and let us know. We'll respond and send you some information about who you've become in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God.